Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope that it will encourage you and help you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.
This Christmas season, our series theme is called Come to the Manger, this idea that as a church family, we would all come to this sort of manger scene or setting and take a look around at who's at the scene. Really, it's a call for all of our hearts, not only to come and behold whoever else is around the manger, but to come and let our hearts behold the Christ child, the living, risen Lord Jesus Christ again. And so last week, Pastor Trevor brought us to the manger, and we saw that Joseph is there at the manger. And ultimately, all through the Christmas season, we want you to discover Jesus. Now, this is, I just was looking at this earlier, this is sort of a creepy Jesus. I don't think he looked anything like this with painted on hair, but, you know, this is not necessarily what we mean. When we talk about inviting, you know, Jesus into your heart, it's not the baby Jesus, it's not creepy Jesus, it's not Jesus with a toupee or anything like that. There's something quite real about Jesus, and that's what makes Christianity stand apart in some ways in philosophical and faith systems that are found around the world. Faith systems everywhere seemingly are built on this idea of mankind having to sacrifice as much as possible to somehow earn the favor of a God or earn a reward of some kind. And Christianity is this message that comes in and turns those ideas on their head in the most gracious way, saying that's not the message. The message is that instead of having to earn the favor of a God somehow out there or appease a God out there, here comes God to us and he sacrifices for us. That's one of the beautiful things, shocking, surprising, and wonderful things about faith in Jesus Christ. Now, as we think about nativity scenes, maybe you set one up in your home somewhere. Our girls found the nativity scene that I grew up with, which just lives in a Ziploc bag most of the year. It's a fold-out kind of thing. And Lucy asked if she could set it up in the room, and so she did, and there was a few camels missing and all that kind of stuff. But it was fun to just look at. It was nostalgic. And maybe you have a nativity scene that you set up every year, or you can remember one from your childhood. I want us to come to the manger together and just think about who all is in the typical nativity scenes. We have representation from several categories of existence, don't we? We certainly have a divine centerpiece, which is the living Lord Jesus Christ himself. But we also have humans in the scene, right? In the typical nativity scene, there's people. We have Mary and Joseph. Typically, there's usually some shepherds that have made their way. And even though we, you know, scripturally that the wise men didn't come for quite some time after the fact, a lot of times they get to make an appearance in the nativity scene as well, just because, you know, nostalgia and sentiment and all that kind of stuff. And so we have divine, we have human. What else is at the nativity sets? Animals, right? We have some donkeys, we have some sheep, maybe other camels or whatever else it may be. But there's usually another category present in a lot of nativity scenes as well, isn't there? What would it be? Angels. Angels. I want us to think a little bit today about angels, the angels connected to the Christmas story. What are angels anyways? I want you to look at this with me. Society, culture has come up with a variety of different ideas, impressions, representations of what an angel may actually be. And so you get ancient artistic depictions. You get modern television shows touched by an angel. Anybody remember that back in the day? So did anybody think, oh, great, I think society is waking up to God somehow. There's this Touched by the Angel show on TV. And some people loved it. Other people criticized it because it was not about God at all. We have a baseball team. We have ornaments on our tree. How many people on the top of your tree? It's an angel. Yeah, and you can stop being so smug. You think you're so special because you have an angel. How many people have a star? Okay, there's a good representation there. We have neither. We have a black bear on the top of our tree. We might post a picture of that at some point. And then, of course, there's cherubs, like Cupid. Now, isn't that an interesting idea? Like, who concocted this idea that there should be an angel that's actually a baby most of the time? I found a Cupid that was clothed. Most of the time, he's not even wearing anything. Like, imagine being around the table with whoever it was coming up with this idea, saying, well, it should be an angel. Make it a baby. Take away its clothes. And let's give it a weapon. Okay? And this is where love comes from, right? Cupid. He's got archery skills. And then there's other depictions, right to the last image you see in the bottom corner there, of these very sort of mystical images of angels. Again, there's some rising popularity. Some of you might remember Oprah helped kind of raise some profile on this kind of spirituality for a while. Others have circled around it. And for some people, it's a type of spirituality that gives them a sense of comfort and almost connectedness to a Christian message without Jesus. But there's this sort of spirituality and truth that some people perceive. So what in the world are angels? Are they actually real? Are any of these kind of depictions or ideas connected to what Scripture reveals? And I want us just to spend a few moments thinking about angels, their purpose, and what that actually means for you and I. I think there's an echo that comes from the call for angels that speaks to you and I in this Christmas season. When you turn to the Word of God, and we're going to go to the Christmas story in a few moments, but when you look throughout Scripture, there's actually a lot of angel activity. So first of all, everyone in the room has to decide, am I going to believe that or not? And if you're on the side of believing it, then you're acknowledging, okay, angels are real. Angels must therefore then actually be around us right now in this room in unseen realms. That's an interesting thought. I don't think that we're called to give a lot of focus and attention to that because it can be a distraction for some of us. But it's worth us being aware. Angels are a created host that work in God's unseen realm. And they're among us, not just when we gather together in worship in a room or online. They're among us day to day, week to week, serving God's purposes. Throughout Scripture, we find them front to back. The Old Testament talks about angels 108 times. The New Testament talks about angels 165 times. So they're clearly not like just way in the background. They've got involvement. They've got purpose. There's something they're doing that's important. Angels are created by God. They don't, you know, procreate or recreate. There's not a growing number of angels. When you die or your dog dies, you don't go to heaven and become an angel. That's not a biblical idea. I know it's sort of this fanciful thought that some people like to hold on to. I've even seen some ornaments of dogs with wings and stuff like that. It's a nice thought. I remember our first dog when she died. I like the thought of her being in heaven. I don't know if I need her to have wings, but you and I don't get wings when we go to heaven and become an angel. You and I are who God created us to be. Angels, according to Scripture, are not worshipped, and they are not prayed to. You may encounter some people in community or in neighborhood who have certain ideas or notions of angels and include them in their prayers. They pray or speak to angels, and that's not opened to us in Scripture as an option. Angels, while created in a large host, each have unique personality. They enjoy freedom and choice. So angels are not this sort of army of God's robots, just droning around. No, they have uniqueness. They have a sense of personality and freedom. Angels exist, it seems, according to Scripture, for two primary reasons. Number one, to serve God's purposes, and number two, to deliver God's messages. That's what angels are doing. And we see that especially concentrated in the Christmas story. Is it in other places in Scripture? Absolutely. But 'tis the season for us to look at the Christmas story and the activity of angels. So if we're following sort of in biblical sequence, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Matthew, if we look in Matthew's story of Christmas, you can turn to Matthew chapter 1 if you want to follow along. I'll read a few selections of Scripture. Matthew chapter 1, an angel appears to Joseph. Here's something interesting that you notice when you step back and look at the whole of the Christmas story in Matthew and Luke, who describe it best. The center feature of the Christmas story is Jesus himself. He is the main character. But every time that God needs a supporting cast member, For the Christmas story, he sends an angel. So in Matthew's gospel, Joseph is the first one who has an angelic experience of some kind. And last week, Pastor Trevor drew our attention to the three dreams of Joseph, which begins with an angelic encounter in one dream. And let's remind ourselves of this. In chapter 1, verse 20, it says this: "An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save people from his sins.'" So on comes the angel, says, "Don't be afraid," and then gives significant clues about whom? Jesus. What's interesting, we won't go into this other two dreams that Joseph has. Pastor Trevor alluded to them and shared wonderfully about them last week. You can watch that back online if you've missed it. But in one of the subsequent experiences Joseph has, do you remember Jesus' life is in jeopardy early on? There's danger. And so what does the message from heaven come to say? Take your family to Egypt. Egypt represented this natural place of safety. I find that fascinating, don't you? That sometimes in God's world, there are moments of supernatural protection where you stay or you do a certain thing and you are supernaturally protected. And other times, the message from heaven is not supernatural protection, but supernatural escape. Go to the place that makes the most sense to go to. You'll be safe in Egypt. Trust their provisions, trust their protections, trust their advancements, all of that. Isn't that interesting? Sometimes that's a helpful reminder for us that at times as believers, God puts us in a path where we're to trust him for his supernatural protection. Other times, his direction for us is supernatural escape. Second cast member Jesus that God calls into the Christmas story, according to Luke's gospel, is John the Baptist, and he does it through his father. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 1, and beginning in verse 11, it says this: "Then an angel of the Lord appeared to Zechariah." Zechariah was a priest who was praying. "And he was standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid. Zechariah, your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. You are to give him the name John.'" Flipping ahead into verse 17, after speaking about John, here's the description: "John will make ready a people to be prepared for the Lord." So John the Baptist is this significant supporting cast member in the story of Jesus. Luke makes sure this is included in the Christmas story. And what is John the Baptist's role? To help make ready, to help prepare people for the Lord, for Jesus. Then along comes, carrying on. It says this: "Zechariah asked the angel, 'How can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well along in years.' The angel answered, 'I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news.'" Remember the role of angels? They're doing God's work, serving behind the scenes and also delivering messages. Gabriel there is describing a little bit of what he does and his job description. Along comes angels into the story. God needs a mother for Jesus. I was very proud of Mira, who was singing up here as Mary. And I guess that would make me God's grandpa. I don't know if that's sacrilegious, but I'll claim it for a day at least. Mary had the attention of heaven. And there's something significant to occur when God is tapping her shoulder, needing her to be in her supporting role. So an angel is sent along. Verse 26: "In the sixth month, God has sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him a throne, the throne of his father David, and he will reign forever in the house of Jacob. The kingdom, his kingdom, will never end." So along comes this angel to Mary, says, "Don't be afraid," and then promises Jesus and indicates certain things about the life and purpose of Jesus. Finally, the supporting cast needs another segment of representation, this time a significant segment of representation. Who does the last angelic experience go to? The shepherds. The shepherds, in many ways, represent all of humanity. Isn't it amazing that when God wants to announce his arrival to the world, he does it so differently? Don't you think that if it was up to you to make sure that message got out around the world, you'd go to the top of the food chain, the most powerful and important people? And instead, the shepherds were kind of, they weren't that. They were commoners, they were lowly, they were disregarded by many people. That's who God shows up to through this message of angels. Follow with me into chapter 2, beginning in verse 7. It says this, that after Mary had given birth to Jesus, she wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them. Many of them would believe this is also Gabriel, and others would believe that Gabriel was probably the one that was speaking to Joseph earlier. It was some sort of important task specifically designated to Gabriel. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And what did the shepherds do? They were terrified. Can't blame them. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He's Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying," a lot of times we assume they were singing, but most of the time in Scripture we find angels are talking, not singing, but I'm sure they love to sing as well. "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to all people on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. Look at the response of these shepherds. Dramatic experience with angels. A decision to, well, either we're crazy, or we drank a bit too much tonight, and we're imagining things, or this happened, and let's go find out. So off they go, and they find Mary and Joseph and the baby as it's been described to them. Wow. Their response? Run away and tell everybody about angels because they saw them for the first time. No, run away and tell everyone about Jesus. Angels, and you may have picked this up in these four stories that we just looked at. Angels have two primary messages. One, don't be afraid. Now, obviously, for most people, if an angel just shows up, there's a moment of fright. So they're addressing that, no doubt. But they're also speaking to the human condition, which is fear. How many of you have experienced what it's like to try to tell somebody not to be afraid? A lot of times it actually, that doesn't calm them so much as being a non-anxious presence. And so the angels show up saying, don't be afraid. They're coming to dispel fear. That's one of their messages. They're bringing God's comfort, God's assurance to troubled times and to troubled people. That's the first message. Don't be afraid. Second message is Jesus. You look at the four stories that we just looked at. Joseph is told about Jesus. Zechariah, who the angel helps him understand that they are going to have a son who will be John the Baptist. But the point isn't John the Baptist. The point is the one whom John the Baptist is preparing a way for, the Lord. Mary gets a message, don't be afraid. And then Jesus is the second part of the message. When the angels come to the shepherds, do not be afraid. And then they talk about Jesus. This is the priority from heaven's perspective for angels. If they're carrying a message, it's two things. Don't be afraid. They want to dispel fear. And they want to make sure people are pointed towards Jesus. It's worth mentioning because in some of the confusion and hype that swirls around in our world, sometimes in mystic realms outside of Christianity, sometimes within Christianity, there can be a distractive, almost obsession with angels. And it's worth questioning some of it when the angelic experiences people speak of don't point to Jesus. That's what angels are all about. You look at their work in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. In some way or another, they're deflecting attention, glory, and honor away from themselves to the living God. The message of angels is Jesus. So here's a question for you to just think about. Most of us in this room or online, many of us would consider ourselves devoted followers of Jesus Christ. And we would understand that we have a call on our lives to bear witness to Jesus in our world, in our neighborhood, in our community, in our workplace. We call that evangelism or being a witness. Have you ever wondered why God doesn't just send angels to do all the evangelism? Like you look at all their work that they did in Scripture, man, they were effective, right? Like who wouldn't pay attention if you're an angel shows up in your garage one day or you're driving somewhere and all of a sudden an angel's right beside you in your seat and says, listen, I got to tell you about Jesus. I mean, I think it gets somebody's attention. If they just show up in the kitchen or the shower or wherever it would be, you give them your attention and you'd think, well, I've never met an angel before. If it's going to tell me about Jesus, I suppose this is true and this is real. Perhaps there could be a case made for an effective evangelism strategy through angels. They seemed good at it in Scripture. Why not now? Why aren't we seeing that happen? Why hasn't God chosen that? Here's why, I believe. Because at the end of the day, a witness, the witness of an angel, doesn't compare at all to your story as a human who's experienced forgiveness, redemption, hope, healing in your life. You have a relatable story that makes your sharing of the message of Jesus more relatable and receivable to other people than it would be if it was given to them by an angel. Your story is significant. Don't underestimate it. One of our significant assignments in this world, all of us, is to learn how to share our story with Jesus at the center of it. So if the angels have two primary things, two primary messages, fear not and Jesus, could we allow that to speak to us right now that maybe there's an echo within that that reveals our task in our world today? Maybe we could embrace a similar approach, a similar strategy, a similar thought. So here's our task. Number one, I mean, you don't have to show up in every setting and say, fear not. But let's learn how to be a non-anxious presence in our world and for each other. And sometimes that happens easier and more naturally than others. Why? Because there's times that we're in need of somebody else to be that non-anxious presence and help bring a sense of calm. You and I have the opportunity to be bearers of peace, to be bringers of God's calm, His assurance, His comfort into our world. I would say that in the last 2 years, we are seeing spiking experiences of fear in our world. Isn't that true? We'll just let her take that call. We're seeing experiences swell up in of fear swell up and swirl around all over the place. Now, all throughout human history, there's been cycles and experiences of fear in many different ways. But for us, this is our time. We're experiencing pandemic, we're experiencing other things, and it pushes people towards experiences of fear. No matter your view on the issue, just as an observer and a participant in what's going on in our world, it's easy. You hear, you talk with some people, and they always, if they have a particular view, people on the other side of the view, it's easy to point out how they are afraid, right? But we have to acknowledge, too, that us, too, on our side of the view, whatever the view is, your side of the view has fear, too. And so you and I can take inspiration from the work of angels to show up in settings and bring God's assurance, bring God's comfort, bring a non-anxious sense of his peace into the midst. Secondly, if the angels were sent with a message of fear not, and we might be as well, and the angels were sent with a message which is built around and anchored entirely and only upon this idea of Jesus, then certainly you and I are too. That's our task. Bring God's peace into circumstances and bring God's message of Jesus into the world around us. So here's the thing. If I'm honest, if you're honest, maybe some of us at times are like, oh, I'm not sure if I'm quite ready, or I'm not sure if some other people are quite ready yet to hear. What kind of things can we do that help prepare people's hearts? What kind of things can you and I do that would help the hearts of those in your neighborhood or your workplace or at your school or wherever you find yourself? What kind of things can you and I do that help make a way? You know how John the Baptist, his life was about making a way for the message of Jesus and the ministry of Jesus to touch many lives? You and I are called to the same kind of thing, to be like other John the Baptists in our world, helping other hearts be prepared and made ready for the ministry and message of Jesus. What kind of things can you and I do that help hearts around us get ready and be prepared? I don't have the time today to unpack this, but I promise at some point in our future, we're going to do a deep dive in Luke chapter 10. You can do some of your own looking around in there at some point. But in Luke chapter 10, there's significant evidence that when Jesus was commanding the advance of his message in ministry through others, he sent them to do two significant things along the way. Number one, be a people of blessing. Number two, to meet significant needs. Be a people of blessing. Give blessing and meet significant needs around you. The acts of Jesus make way for the message of Jesus. You might be thinking of a coworker, a neighbor, a schoolmate, somebody you've been praying for. Oh, I want them to experience Jesus. I want them to have every opportunity to know them. I want one day to feel that we've got a connection and friendship where I could share my story and Jesus is the center of that story, and maybe they would have an opportunity to respond. How do you get there? How do those moments, how are they created? Certainly along the way, seeds are sown as they come into experiences of Jesus through acts of blessing and meeting needs through your life and mine. So, what could you and I do this Christmas to help prepare the hearts of some of the others that God has sent us to be among? What kind of things could you and I do that prepare hearts, that increases receptivity for the gospel amongst people around us? Two things, and maybe this won't come as a surprise to you. Number one, we've been talking about this for a little while. Miracle on your street. I'm asking every household in this church family, in this room right now and online, would you consider a way that you bring blessing or meet a need in your neighborhood? And when I talk about this, I'm not talking about find somebody else from our church in your neighborhood or find another Christian family in your neighborhood. I'm talking about our call to be a light to the nations, to people who don't know Jesus yet. Certainly you have some people that live around you. And you're learning over time how to be a neighbor and to get to know each other, and you're learning some of their story, and maybe through that, or you've observed something, you realize that's a significant need, or here's something that would be a blessing to them. I've mentioned in the past that somebody in our area has had an accident recently, a single mom. So it's our family's desire to do something that's very helpful for them in this season. We don't need attention or glory for that. It's for Jesus. But we're hoping that a gesture like this helps open hearts a little bit more to the love of Jesus. It snowed this past week. Some of us enjoyed it. Some of us were triggered by memories of Prairie's past. Whatever your view is of snow, it sure presents an opportunity to be a help in your neighborhood, doesn't it? And I know of some people that in our street and next door streets were helping out other neighbors. It was wonderful. It builds bridges of friendships. Dave Miles, who lives just a little ways from us, felt that this was the year to buy a snowblower. And I got to tell you, I think he became the most popular person on our street this past week. And I could see a big smile on his face because he finally got to use a snowblower. And doing his own driveway and little sidewalk was not enough for him. So I'm sure, yes, he was enjoying testing out a new piece of machinery, but I'm also sure there was a piece of him that thought, that's great to have this extra way to help out in my neighborhood. Build bridges of friendship. But if I can encourage you, in a gospel season like this, Christmas time is a time where we can go beyond just being nice Canadians. Being a nice Canadian isn't a witness of the gospel, it's just being a nice Canadian. You and I have an opportunity to demonstrate and reflect the kind of love that gets right into the mess of the world and shows up to bring hope and peace. Maybe you could make a miracle of some kind occur in your neighborhood this Christmas season. Could you scheme together with your family? Maybe there's other neighbors from our church or other churches who say, let's come up with a plan. Let's help these people. Let's do something for them. I'm asking everyone to be intentional and generous in your neighborhood. I had a phone call with a dear sister in our church family this week who has been in a serious health battle. Voice was weak. There's hope, determination in many ways to persevere. While we were talking, there were moments that she just acknowledged, I kind of wish that this could be the end. You know what moved me the most on that call? About 3/4 of the way into the call, she broke down weeping and just said, I just want my neighbors to know Jesus. I just want them to know the love and truth of Jesus. And as this individual contemplates a struggle that they're presently in, and is this the end or is it not? What a beautiful witness to my own heart. It caused me to cry on the other end of the phone thinking, wow, I don't know. I think I'm too selfish that if I was struggling in pain and suffering, I don't know if I'd be thinking about neighbors at that time. I'd be thinking about poor me. But that's the kind of heart I want to have, is that I take seriously our assignment and opportunity to bring the light and the love of Jesus Christ to our own neighborhoods. May we have that same heart. So the first thing I think that we all could do in response to this idea of us also being messengers of two messages, fear not and Jesus. First thing, miracle on your street. Second thing, you could join us in participating in a special offering today in support of the Comox Valley Aboriginal Head Start program. We've had opportunity. We're just trying to build friendships and networks in our community. And our church has been here for many generations, and we're wanting to explore how do we become a better friend to the local Indigenous communities? How do we show gestures of care and consideration and support and interest in their lives too? And so a connection was formed, and we have an opportunity, 26 children, for us to buy a gingerbread house and a book for, that are part of a program that meets here in the valley, focused on early education and development support for those with Indigenous backgrounds in our community. Our goal simply is just for this to be a neighborly gesture and a blessing to them. We're not going to tuck in or hide in any, you know, pamphlets or church propaganda or even Bibles. It's just to be a blessing, just to build a bridge. Here's the thing. I know that as a church family, we certainly have the money to buy some gingerbread houses and a few books. But I wonder if we could do more. What if other gifts? What if there was like a little gift bag we could give every kid? Or a gift basket. I mean, if enough came in, maybe we give them a gift box each. If enough comes in, can you imagine what it would be like for one of those little kids to have somebody show up and say, this is for you. A bunch of presents, just a gesture of love and support and friendship from us. Merry Christmas. What if there was enough in there that we were able to be a blessing to 26 families in our community? Maybe we could help with grocery cards this year for their families at Christmas time, or gas cards, or clothing, or whatever it may be. Families with young children, they've got all kinds of needs, and we could be a people of blessing. Today is a day for a special offering, and you might be wondering and looking for ways to be supportive in the community, to partner with a good cause this Christmas season. This is a great opportunity. If you go on our website, where most people in our church family give, there's a drop-down option that says Christmas Outreach 2021. You can select that and leave a special offering. And this week, we hope to be able to be a great blessing to the Comox Valley Aboriginal Head Start program and be a blessing in the lives of 26 children and hopefully families as well. So I invite you to consider your participation in that. I want you to imagine what it would be like for those children, for their eyes to light up, what it might be like for those 26 families if there was blessings that we partnered in together. There's two things practically that we could do. There's perhaps many, many others. May God, under the inspiration of his Holy Spirit, lead you and guide you in this. Let's stand together. When you join me and come to the manger this Christmas season, we see Mary, we see Joseph, we see animals, we see the shepherds, we see the magi, and we see angels. When you look at your nativity scene and you see angels, when you look at your Christmas tree and maybe there's an angel somewhere on your Christmas tree. I was just joking, by the way. If you have an angel on the top of your tree, you're not pretentious, you're not smug, you're a wonderful person. When you see an angel symbolized somehow, somewhere, I want you to remember these two things about angels. They show up with a message, fear not. And then they point people to Jesus. I want you to be reminded that that's our call too in this world. Be a non-anxious presence in your neighborhood. Be a non-anxious presence in your workplace, at your school. Bring God's comfort, his assurance into those moments and into those places. And then find ways to build bridges of friendship so that the gospel of Jesus, so that the message of Jesus, so that something through your actions and your words points to Jesus. Make a miracle on your street. Involve your kids. Involve your neighbors if you like. Have fun. And maybe you would consider joining in the effort today, the special offering towards the Comox Valley Aboriginal Head Start Program. Let me pray for you. Father, we thank you. We thank you for Christmas, the season that speaks to our souls every year. Thank you, Jesus, that you remain the center of it all. May we not be pulled in one direction or the other away from you. May we come closer and closer to you. Father, we give you permission to speak to our hearts, to lead our lives. Would you speak to us about our neighborhoods? Would you speak to us about partnerships in our community that can make a difference, that can be a good cause, a way of supporting people? I pray that you'd speak to each heart today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we conclude today, why don't you come to the manger with me and we'll sing one more time, Angels We Have Heard on High. Would you do your best? Would you sing? Didn't that choir do well? They sang louder than I expected them to. So I want you to do your very best as they did theirs as well.
shepherds. Shepherds, why this jubilee? Why your joyous strains prolong? What the gladsome tidings be, which inspire your heavenly song? Gloria in excelsis Deo. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Let's sing Gloria. And
just put your hand over your heart right now. Father, we thank you for your presence with us. And now as we go into your world on your mission, we declare again our dependence upon you. We need you, Holy Spirit, your presence, your power, your inspiration, and your partnership. Father, give us a great grace to live in your gospel realities and to extend them in our world. Go, Father, would you help us to go in your blessing today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Blessings to everybody. Have a great week.
Thanks again for listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged you as you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.